And Francis Williams is coming through the door as we speak. So I will bring my public service announcements to an end. Daisy will switch over to her new chair. Minerva will help us get everything set up. Yeah, we are on the air. So come on in. And in just one moment, we're going to be talking about... I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
I'm bringing you a little gift.
Okay. Look at that.
Is there any way to scoot her down?
One of the commanding generals wants. It's a lithograph. It's not a poster. And it's numbered.
What Francis has given me is a painting, it looks like, the Oregon Mountains over, it's titled The Oregon's Over Wismer.
Yeah.
Do you know when that's from?
Where that's from?
Oh, it's from 1904. It's signed by Stan.
She was the general's wife.
Oh, okay.
And she was the artist. Okay. Well, General Reese.
Well, thank you. So let's get into the topic.
Let me get my notes here.
Okay. So, you reached out to us. You were wanting to. I won't put words in your mouth. Go ahead and I will just turn it over to you.
Well, I want to talk about the shortage of doctors. We're in more than a crisis mode. We have actually gone over the precipice into a hole, and it is disgraceful. And the shortage is being driven by several people, mostly the trial lawyers. And then we have an issue with, are we on the radio? And then we have an issue with our mayor pro tem. So can I start from the beginning about where we are?
Sure.
Okay. Well, as I said, New Mexico is on the precipice, and we've fallen into the hole. And in many of the mortal cities in New Mexico, there is no health care, up north especially. And what has happened that we have people up north, for example, they have no doctors. And now they were sued by the trial lawyers, the hospitals, so they have no hospitals. So they have to go 100 miles for health care. And so what's driving this? What's driving it? Well, it started out with the medical malpractice liability insurance for the doctors. It's the highest in the nation, one of two. It was $24,500 per year.
The insurance rates.
The liability insurance.
Right, right.
So what happened is doctors couldn't afford it, and they left, and they're not coming in. We're the only state in the nation that is losing doctors, and we're just in a hell of a mess here. It takes so long to go see a doctor. And when my doctor retired after 45 years, I had to call four doctors before I could get one because most of them couldn't see me until 2 months, 3 months. And in my condition, that's unacceptable. So that's one of the things that... brought me into this, of course, is because I couldn't get a doctor. And there's another problem here. New Mexico does not have a cap on what victims can get. So we have, it's just free for all, especially for the lawyers.
And to be clear, that's the reason why the insurance rates, the malpractice rates that the doctors have to pay is so high. Because there is no cap on what the insurance company could potentially have to pay out. And so, of course, to cover themselves, they have to charge astronomical rates.
Well, our doctors were paying $24,500 a year.
Right.
They couldn't afford that.
Right. No.
So they left.
Right.
And we don't get any coming in.
Right. That's I'm just connecting those two things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, for example, Texas has a cap of what a victim can get, which is $280,000. That caps what the lawyer gets, their fee.
Mm-hmm.
We have no cap.
Right.
So as an example, we had, I think it was a UPS or FedEx truck that ran into a car here and killed a family. So there's no cap, and the victim got a lot of money, I guess, because the lawyer in that case got $1.5 million as his fee, whereas in Texas, you have a cap of $280,000. And so the lawyers, the trial lawyers, are capped. They're not going to get half as much.
Right. Because there's nobody here from the other side, what I'm about to say is not something I believe, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a minute. What they will say is that the other side has unlimited money that they can spend on their doctor. So that if you limit how much the attorney can make who's defending the patient, and the patient is going up against Kaiser Permanente or one of these huge healthcare conglomerates, they will spend unlimited monies on their lawyers, so why shouldn't the lawyer defending the little guy get unlimited money as well?
Well, for one thing, the doctors here, as it is, you know, they're also limited by what they get paid from Medicare and so forth. But as far as I'm concerned, and to answer your question, I don't think that it is fair. It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to have that expectation. As far as our doctors, and interestingly enough, there is a scale for doctors that is published, I guess, by some medical societies. But for example, if you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you only pay $9,000. If you are a family doctor, you only pay $11,000. And then if you're like a pain management specialist, you only pay like maybe $12,000 or $13,000. But here, $24,500 is what you have to pay. So they're not here, and right. I'm a good example of that.
Right.
Yeah, so I had a question, because there's the Santa Fe New Mexican did an article about myths about the doctor shortages, and I was just curious in your thoughts on the patient compensation fund and how does that work into this problem. The patient compensation fund. Which is
the patient compensation fund?
Yes,
I never heard of that.
Okay, so that's what the article is saying. That in fact, that lawsuits. So the myth is that lawsuits cause medical malpractice insurance to rise, but it has to do with because they're paying and they have had to pay into the patient compensation fund, which actually I think does cap what patients can get if there is a lawsuit that they have. That this essentially it's like a second insurance, that those surcharges have increased. So the rise in premiums is largely due to patient failures of the, this is what the article is claiming, the patient compensation fund is rather than,
who handles the patient compensation fund?
That's a good question because I don't. The article doesn't go into that.
I think the state does. I think it's kind of like workman's comp, where everybody pays into it, and then if you know, in workman's comp, if you lose your job, you can draw from it. With this, I think everybody pays into it, and then
right.
if you get, I guess my answer to that would be maybe that's the case, but at the foundation of driving it all is these unlimited, not only awards to in damages, but attorney's fees. That there's no cap on.
There isn't any cap.
And in my opinion, just having watched the legislature, that is what the result of one of the many negative results of our citizen legislature. To get any bill that deals with the law through and any deal dealing with malpractice to get it passed, it has to go through the Senate Judiciary Committee and the House Judiciary Committee. And both of those are filled with lawyers. There's not, I don't think, a doctor on either one of them.
Well, I'll tell you something that you may not know. The bill, we did have a bill that went to the Public Works Committee headed by Linda Lopez, and it was Senate Bill 176. And that bill said that they would pay $680,000 was what patient could get. Then, of course, that would cap what the trial lawyers would get. Well, it went to the Lopez's committee. This is just an allegation. I want to make that clear. But someone told me, several people, that several of the committee members took money from the Trial Lawyers Association. It didn't pass. However, if it did pass, it would have to go to Judiciary Committee, right. which is head by Senator Cervantes.
And we should say, all of those donations are public record. So people who are interested in seeing if that's true or not, that's all. It's not as available as it should be.
That's
because
right.
Jeff Steinborn, who is coming in here next, had a bill get passed that would have required those mm-hmm. political donations to be listed on the webpage where all the information about the bill is. And the governor vetoed that.
Well, the governor vetoed another thing that Jeff Steinborn did, and that was on the lobbyists. He had a bill
That's the one I mean.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah. And that didn't pass.
No, it passed. She vetoed it.
It didn't get signed. It passed.
He worked very hard to get that passed.
Oh, yeah. Well, as far as what happened in the Public Works Committee, that was headed by Linda Lopez, right. as I said.
And all I'm saying is that's not a shady allegation. Everybody knows that the trial lawyers make contributions to the
But to people, see, that's what really bothers me. Those people, when they run for office, they say, we're going to help the people. We're your safety nets. You can count on us. And then they get into office and they forgot what they went in there for. But in the case of the public safety, they had a bill, Senate Bill 176, that did cap what the patients got and that what the victims got, and that was $680,000. And then that capped the fee of what the trial lawyers would get. Mm-hmm. So it didn't pass.
Right.
But if it had passed, it has to go to judiciary. And who's on judiciary? All the trial lawyers
right.
are on that. It's disgusting. It is awful. And what about the people that are suffering? Up north, as an example, I want to give you, up north, 40% of the people are on, welfare, but it's not called anyway. 40% are at or below the poverty level.
Right.
They lost their doctors. The trial lawyers came in and sued the two hospitals, and the hospitals went under. So they had to travel 100 miles to get to a doctor. And 40% of them live at or below the poverty level. That's pretty, well, it's outrageous. So that's one thing. And then when after that, I just want to talk about the, I have another issue here. And that is the safety over profit. Have you heard of the safety over profit? You no. haven't.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, that's really something. Okay. I was an ethics commissioner for 2.5 years on the New Mexico State Commission. And so the State Ethics Commission went to this safety over profit organization, and they said, who are your donors? And they said, we're not going to tell you. So ethics sued them, and they got their donors. And guess who they were? 80 trial lawyers. And they pay enormous amounts for the safety over profit.
I've never heard of that group, so I don't know what they do.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's there. And
well, I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying I doubt if a lot of our listeners have heard of it.
Well, they haven't, but they better listen because, and I get really upset about this, because safety over profits is all trial lawyers.
Okay.
And so the...
But I just don't know who they are.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
There are a million advocacy groups in the world.
Well, I'm going to tell you who they are. So the Ethics Commission sued them in court.
Okay.
And they made them tell who their donors were.
Okay, we get that.
The donors, 80 of them are trial lawyers. Okay. All trial lawyers.
And as an organization, what did they serve, or what was their purpose?
Their purpose was to just, I guess, you know, to be trial lawyers. They pay into the organization, and they pay a lot of money. I have a list of all of them because the Ethics Commission made them give a list. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, we have a group here, the Trial Lawyers Association. They paid $500 into this safety over profit. Okay. Now, what is really disgraceful, we have a mayor pro tem. Her name is Joanne Bencomo.
Johanna Bencomo.
Johanna, yeah.
Anyway, Joanne Bencomo.
No, it's not her name, Francis. Go ahead, make your point, but that's not how she pronounces her
name. Okay, Joanne Bencomo was hired as their executive director, making over $100,000 a year, while she is the mayor pro tem. How can that be? Where is your sense of consciousness as an elected official?
We're getting off topic here, Francis. That has nothing to do with the health care issue. I agree with you. But Johanna is not here to defend herself, and I'm not going to let you attack
her.
You're getting off topic.
It's not a question of defending yourself.
Yes, it is. If you want to continue discussing health care, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, I just want to make the point that she is the executive director.
You made that point.
And the safety.
You have made that point, Francis.
Okay.
Where would you like to go
next?
All right.
But safety over profit, that's disgusting. That's another issue.
We're getting down. We'll have to shut this off if we don't have anywhere else to go.
Oh, yeah, we do have some place to go.
Okay, it's got to be different and new.
It will be.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I had another, a safety over profit organization. And I was going to say that Jeff Steinborn had submitted a bill, because the lobbyists are also involved, and he submitted a bill about the lobbyists.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And it was vetoed,
yes,
by the governor. That's pretty awful. And then some of the other issues that I want to talk about is that we have, like, for example, I can't get a doctor here that can treat me for some of the ailments that I have because they're gone.
Right.
And then where do we go from here, and who do we go to?
Right. You're absolutely right. You're bringing attention to a very important issue. And I would really advise people, if you want to learn more about this, because you're right, this is going to be critically important that people get involved in this issue for the legislative session coming up now, because the cards are stacked against you. Trying to get something through those judiciary committees is incredibly difficult. And the only way you can do it is if you build public pressure and you force them to vote against their own financial and professional interests. That's the only way you get anything passed. So this will take a massive effort of getting everybody involved. And I would really encourage anybody who wants to learn more about this. There are two sites. The first one is Think New Mexico, which is an advocacy group out of Santa Fe, has been working on this for a couple years now. And they have put together some tremendous research on the age of doctors in New Mexico and how many of them are working past retirement age and still working, because they know that when they leave, there's nobody there to replace them. And you are right. Up north, the problem is worse than it is here. But it is coming if we don't do something to fix this. And the other one, the other group I'd like to draw people's attention to is Patients Primero. They are an advocacy group that is working specifically on this issue. They're not a think tank like Think New Mexico. They've been around for 20 years, and they'll take this issue in a couple of years. They'll take another issue. Patients Primero is focused entirely on this issue and this issue alone. And if you would like to get involved in trying to help make a difference, I would urge people to look up
those
groups.
Well, I'm on their advisory group, for one thing. But it's interesting because the people who are running for governor have not mentioned this at all. And Sam Bregman and Hallin, the only one who has talked about it, but I've talked to him, is Mr. Miyagashima.
Right.
And he's running. But I try to get in touch with Sam Bregman. They don't mention that at all. I try to get in touch with Hallin. I can't get their phone numbers, but I will get their phone numbers.
Right.
But I am determined that this has got to stop, because I'm a victim, and when I have to wait 3 months to see a doctor in the condition that I'm in a wheelchair, and everything from my neck down is something wrong. My neck up, it seems to be functioning so far so good. But all I can say is we are in one hell of a mess. And when I have to go to El Paso, because I have to get some doctors in El Paso to treat me, and then it's interesting, because some doctors that I have here have changed. As an example, one of my physicians was treating me, and then he decided that he did just cataract surgery.
Right.
That's more money, so I don't have him. I have another doctor.
Right, but your point is that there's a shortage, and that it is impacting you, obviously, but it's impacting everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to get people on this for this upcoming legislation and involved.
Yeah, but what? How?
And we're at the end of our hour, so we're gonna have to end it there. Minerva is getting us the cutoff sign.
Yeah.
So, wanna thank you for coming on, and you know, Patients Primero, like I said, and encourage people to get involved with this. Thanks so much for drawing attention to this issue.
Okay.